watch the Knicks game, Shaq, but I watch that game.
Shaq, you out here killing roaches, aren't you?
Oh, you know it.
I ain't gonna even get no love. No guy having 5 points a game. 5 points a game gonna call me out.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Well, that was childish and absurd. After Kendrick Perkins said accurately that Shaq and especially Barkley don't watch the NBA, which went back to a conversation on ESPN Radio New York, where Michael Kay was asking Kendrick Perkins, those guys say that the Knicks have no shot, and Perkins is like, they don't watch basketball. So they punched down but never mentioned his name.
Five points a game.
The guy that scores 5 points a game. They mentioned him.
They didn't specifically. You know that.
That's how you punch down, though.
Your betting prop, 24-8, according to Pete Traeger, offensive players versus defensive players. I still don't believe it. A lot of wide receivers and an extra quarterback in the first round, so I think Traeger is off. Let's talk football. Let's talk some NBA. Let's bring in a guy who he's always punching down. Oh, he's subtweeting. Nah, he doesn't do that. Caleb Herring is with us, former UNLV quarterback. Caleb, what's up, buddy?
What's up, man? I'm a professional subtweeter, apparently. I didn't know that about myself, but I dabble from time to time.
I feel you're more of a professional photographer. Like, you're really exploring the photo space out there on the social.
I am. I'm diving into the photography realm. Thank you for that, Mitch. I try to do good. I'm very much an amateur, though. But it's a passion-turned-hobby, maybe turned into something more in the future. We'll see.
Oh, wow. Okay. WNBA draft, did you watch?
the honest answer is no. I did watch, however, a lot of the festivities and the social media reaction to it, because that's how everyone consumes regular cable these days, is basically through reels and tweets about what's going on. I noticed that Caitlin Clark was the first athlete to be dressed by Prada for draft night, which was something that was, I guess, alluded to by Damon. Shout out to Damon. Big time accomplishment for Caitlin. I watched through the lens of my sister, who is a former basketball player, who is an avid follower and current coach for women's youth basketball. But she is she kind of kept me up to beat on what was going on and all the happenings with the draft. She had a lot to say about it, but I did not personally sit down and devote all of my time to watching the WNBA draft, no.
So rate the fit. What'd you think?
You're doing this. I think the statement made by the brand was 10 out of 10, right? Like Prada on, you know, it's classy, it's elegant, it's fashion, it was great. I don't know. It was a little bit plain, but I respect it. I respect the look that it brings back a professional time to that moment for these young athletes. And I think it is on brand for Caitlin. And so I think that's what made it work for me. I'll say that. That's my analysis of the fit. It was on brand for Caitlin. It was on brand for taking WNBA to a new, more serious, more professional, more noticed brand. And I think Caitlin pulled it off nicely.
So you hated it. We got it. Duly noted. Who won the red carpet then, Caleb, if we're going, it was the orange carpet, I think it was, actually, if we're going down this road. And this is not, by the way, you wouldn't do this with men's basketball. Yes, we do.
We do. I think the worst fit that I've ever seen on a red carpet was Ezekiel Elliott when he wore the half-top suit. We won't go back that far. But for the WNBA, I think the orange carpet, I think Angel Reese won, actually. I think she demands a lot of attention. And I think her outfit actually was very well assembled. She looked great in it. She was fantastic. So I think I would say she won. I think she's an attention getter. And that's probably an easy answer to say, especially saying, admittedly, I did not watch everything. I didn't see everybody's moment on the red carpet. But I just know when I saw Angel Reese, I said, huh, that's different. That's a different look than anything that I've seen. Like, whether it's her on the red carpet or anybody on the red carpet, it just looked different, and it looked, again, like it was on brand for her.
Did you think there were any risky moments? Damon and I were very
way deeper into
Damon
this
and I. Well, it's the dad in me or dad age in me. I was very concerned about Cameron Brink. I just thought we're really rolling the dice here. But you know what? I'll flip it to basketball. Damon knows, and Adam does as well. While Angel Reese was a pain in the ass and kind of didn't get it, what she was setting up as a villain, and she got it back hard. I hope that's a wake-up call, because now that it's her and Cardoso on Chicago, the Sky are my favorite team, and I really hope – they're both skilled, but I really hope they come into the league, they hear all the stuff about, oh, the young player's this and the young player's that, and they're like friggin' Rodman and Lane Beer and start laying people out. Like, what'd you have to say?
Yeah.
I'm talking like high-low – you know, Draymond, weird body activity with knees to the face of 5'9 players coming in. Let's do this.
Yeah. Angel Reese could have a very tough time in the – maybe the Reese rules could be initiated in WNBA. I don't know. And Brink's outfit, just to go back to that real quickly, was one long stride away from a disaster on the red carpet from a father's perspective.
Yep.
But that, you know, the WNBA is – this might be – an issue with the WNBA that I could see from a marketing standpoint. I don't think that it would be wise for current players to at all mistreat or disregard or disrespect these incoming stars in any way.
The stars of the league.
The stars. That's kind of the point here. They are doing something for the league that you could not do for yourself. What their success brings to the WNBA is something that's going to benefit everybody in the WNBA currently and in the future. I think Caitlin Clark has had more eyes on her than any women's basketball player ever. She might be the greatest women's basketball player of all time. From a talent perspective, she's in the conversation. And then from a brand building perspective, she's by far the best thing that's happened to women's basketball. So I want to say this the right way, but I think every player should understand you cannot tear her down if you want to build a brand.
Yep.
And there were certain players that the NBA had to understand this about as well. Michael Jordan could not be brought down. Michael Jordan was the NBA. He brought the NBA to new heights. Because of his brand, the NBA's brand exploded as well. You could say the same thing to a lesser degree about Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and Dr. J. During phases in the NBA's history where these figures superseded the normal rules of competition, right? If you want to build a brand, if that's your goal, if you want to be recognized, you let Caitlin Clark be the Michael Jordan for the WNBA, right? That's number one. I don't like that the gatekeepers of WNBA greatness have already started this Caitlin's getting her wake-up call narrative when she gets to the NBA. And in some degrees to Angel Reese as well. That does not do it for me. I think it's tearing each other down before you even get a chance to get started. And that's not the kind of thing the kind of competitive fire that I want to see from any league, but especially from the WNBA, who's been pandering for my attention for the last decade now. I want to see a competitive show for sure, but I want to see cooperation. I want to see the league build a brand. I think Caitlin Clark is the best thing that's ever happened. And for you to be kind of gatekeeping WNBA greatness, in a sense, and not allowing her to enter into the realm when she clearly has surpassed whatever groundwork has been laid already in the WNBA. I think she's a star. So let her be the star. Let her have this. And I think the brand of the WNBA will benefit from letting Caitlin. She proved in her opening presser with Indiana that she is ready to be the face of not only the franchise, the face of the WNBA, the face of professional sports. The way she's handled herself to this point with the amount of attention she's garnered has been impeccable. So let her have it. And the WNBA will benefit from letting her have it.
Caleb Herring, former UNLV quarterback, our football insider, but he loves all sports. He loves basketball. Last one on Caitlin Clark. She had an intro press conference. Was there an issue there with what one of the media members was asking about?
Asking, maybe not. His actual question, once it got to it, wasn't bad. But the creepiness before it was, I guess, a little uncomfortable. The funny thing is, it was uncomfortable. It was weird. It was like laugh at him moment at first. And then when you get the reaction from everybody else, then it turns into a whole nother thing. It grows legs and it just dominates the narrative, which I think was unfair to Caitlin, not to him. I don't really mind him getting slammed about it, but it took away from Caitlin's moment. I think I don't know this to be true for a fact, but I venture to say it was probably the most watched WNBA intro press conference of all time. And instead of people focusing on social media on her and her professionalism and the things she said to kind of usher in her professional career that were on point and on brand and you could build a franchise with, we're focusing on the guy who said a thing that could be construed as creepy. I won't go as far as
what did he rap, what did he say or what was the gesture? I still don't get what happened.
So the gesture, Caitlin Clark has a thing, which a lot of players have a thing that they do on the court to acknowledge their family. So after every game, she does like a little heart symbol with her hands to her family in the crowd. So the reporter in this case, his name escapes me.
Greg Doyle. All of us are like, Greg Doyle, tag him next time when you're slamming him. He's a longtime columnist in Indiana.
See, I'm a subtweeter. I'm a professional subtweeter. But he, so he does the gesture and asks Caitlin to expand on it. She says, oh, you like that? And he goes, I like you, Caitlin. I like that you're here. I like that you're here. It's great. She says, yeah, that's a gesture I do to my family and, you know, and when they're in the stand, in the stands at every game. And he says, if you do that to me during after the games, everything will be good between us. Like, basically kind of making a joke. I don't know if you want to take an advanced flirting. I don't know what he's doing with it. It was an icebreaker joke that fell flat. Yeah. The audience laughed, but after further review, it was weird.
Yeah, when you take something with a poor camera angle and then you only clip part of it, it can go viral. And I don't know. I would advise with Caitlin Clark, there's so much attention being paid to her, and there's a lot of female empowerment happening.
That's
as a male reporter, I would be really careful and just ask straight questions. Don't try to joke. If you want to develop a relationship with jokes, do it away from a camera. You don't want things misconstrued. You don't want things weaponized. It should be a really good time, but there's a vibe around her, a very protective vibe around Caitlin Clark right now.
And I hate that what Caitlin Clark has automatically by default become is a symbol for women's rights and for protecting women and everything else. I hate that we don't get to just enjoy her as a person, because the flip side of this, and one of many angles that I could take on this, is her response, her reaction to what was said. As uncomfortable as the world may have seen it, she was so professional and so great with answering the question and just pushing through the press conference. So I want to highlight that aspect of it more than anything, because Caitlin was great. So I hate that because of, you know, her being a female superstar, there's this need by most people and other people who are, you know, on the women's rights train, which is a great train to be on, don't get me wrong, but who are pushing it at every turn, are quick to jump on this as an instant and evidence of the disparity between men and women. Instead of just saying, this is a classy athlete handling a stupid reporter in a very professional and classy way, and let's magnify her for her ability to handle it and her toughness to not be distracted in that moment by that corny, whatever it was. And that's lost in this moment. I think there's more people outraged about it that aren't Caitlin Clark than Caitlin Clark herself. She barely batted an eye at it, and she moved on gracefully and answered the question. I think, yeah, we can point out that it was a creepy question. It was weird. But I'm not going any farther than that, because Caitlin deserves the moment. It's her moment. Let her have it. Let's not get distracted with trying to make her some champion of equal rights and journalistic slander at the podium. Let's just let her be an athlete and let her be the superstar that she is.
Totally different direction. A little UNLV football here. I was off for a couple days, missed the news of the release and opportunity to talk about the Odom extension, Barry Odom extension and retention bonuses. Does that mean anything to you?
Yes and no. I think yes, because the university has really jumped out on the let's try to retain somebody, which retention is a big deal, whether it's players or coaches in the college football landscape. It always has been. So at least in a good faith effort, the university has said, we believe after the small sample size of a season that we want you around. We want to keep you around. We know the market's clamoring for you. We want to keep you here. So I think that is a good sign for UNLV, trying to establish that as the tone. We want you here. Not we're trying to hardball you or anything like that. We want you here. The reality is contracts are not that, solid in the world of coaching in college football. Like it's a good gesture. It means a lot, but it only goes as far as you want it to go in the first place. And I think that for Coach Odom, he has a lot of control in his own destiny, which rightfully so he should. But ultimately, if he decides to move on, even with the contract the way it is, he still can. So you've made the gesture, and that's great. But now the work of actually retaining and actually keeping, you know, the Odom family in Las Vegas really starts with the way the community embraces him and obviously winning and building something on the field with UNLV football. So I'm excited about it. I think it's well-deserved, and I think it's a good decision by the university to make that step. And Eric Harper obviously has a good relationship with Barry Odom, and they were confident in the hire when they made it, and this just demonstrates, with good reason, that they're more confident in Barry Odom in year two.
There was a good tweet today out of Boise. Maybe it's an NIL deal. I mean, I would demand payment. A Boise columnist and radio host tweeted out a sandwich from a place called the James in Boise. It is the Ashton Gentee sandwich. It's on the menu, legitimately. It's $12.95. I looked at the menu. It has turkey, provolone, peppers, pickled red onions, sriracha mayo, and the reporter said, because they're all fans of the teams up there, strong and powerful like Ashton Gentee. One, does that sound delicious to you? And two, should UNLV or the collective find a place to give a UNLV football player his own sandwich?
So in order, that does sound delicious. And it may be. We don't go to Boise this year, I don't think. But I know we play them. I don't know if we're there or not.
It's here.
I have to double check that it's here. So unfortunately, Broadcaster Bites will not have a Boise, Idaho Gentee sandwich testing. That's a spoiler. That's a teaser for Broadcaster Bites. It's coming back this season, ladies and gentlemen. Don't worry. But also, I would say that this does have name, image, or likeness, especially when you say in the tweet, it's strong like Gentee. Like, that's, you have to have some connection, right? There has to be. But no, Las Vegas has plenty of places, and it has become known as a foodie destination for those who are just not stuck on the strip and want to venture and find little foodie spots all throughout the city, whether it's downtown, throughout the city of Las Vegas. There's plenty of places that are locally owned and locally operated that have places that I think could have a Las Vegas athlete-branded burger or sandwich or crazy fries. I don't know. You name it.
Stick with sandwiches. I put up a poll. I put up a poll question earlier. Who gets their own sandwich for UNLV football? One of the big fellas, Jalen St. John. A local tie, I think Greg Burrell might be a star, running back, freshman. Jacob DeJesus or Cameron Friel. Now, my thought process on this is what kind of sandwiches we could get. So I went with Friel because I think I want something Hawaiian, and maybe it's the sweet rolls. I went with DeJesus because I thought something Filipino. DeJesus, Filipino. Let's get that right. He might have an interesting demand of a sandwich. And then Jalen St. John again, because he's a big fella, and I could have picked a lot of big fellas. But is there someone I missed that deserves a sandwich?
Ricky on white bread. I don't know. We could throw a lot of stuff out. There's a lot of things you could do here. Any sandwich on white bread, give it to Ricky, right? Yeah. That's, if you order a sandwich Ricky style, that means you want it on white bread,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's we could do that. We could go that way. I mean, Jalen Dixon, the big guys up front with the sandwich, maybe even like pancakes. There's a lot of good pancake places here. Okay. I was thinking Jacob DeJesus, although Baby Stags has a Hawaiian sort of background to their origin story in Las Vegas.
Okay.
But Baby Stags, like a Baby Stack for DeJesus, but Baby Stack with a lot of pancakes because he gets a lot of yards. I don't know. There's a lot of different things you could do here. I'm just pitching stuff. If somebody's listening, yeah, grab on.
Hey,
you're missing
on
the train here.
One of the responders did say no on Jalen St. John. He needs a steakhouse. And then I forgot about his nickname, which is Chop.
Chop. He needs pork chop.
Perfecto.
Like a pork chop. A braised pork chop.
Don't
get
all worked up.
I'm getting worked up, Steve. I'm excited about food right now. that's insane how that just kind of changed narratives real quick. I'm hungry. Thanks a lot for that.
Let me calm you down or bring you down. Impressed or depressed by the Lakers last night?
Depressed. But impressed. I was impressed that they took a lead and they looked like they were comfortable. I think that's the reason that they came back. I don't think anybody in the NBA, any team in the NBA has an answer for Zion Williamson when he starts playing like he did. I think the 18-point lead that he evaporated by himself, basically, was insane. So that's just a testament to how great he could be. So we got a glimpse of that. It's unfortunate that the Lakers gave up that lead, but I think they gave it up when they let their foot off the gas. I think they saw some quit in the Pelicans because Brandon Ingram was playing terrible and so was CJ McCollum. So they let off the gas in the second half and Zion capitalized. He put his foot to the gas and came back. If he stays in, I don't know that the Lakers survived that. But sometimes you need a close call like that to kind of wake your team up. And I think a wake-up call was in order. I think this matchup with the Nuggets in the playoffs is going to be a little bit different. I think the Lakers as a roster are better than they were last year, while the Nuggets are not as good as they were last year, roster-wise, at least in this matchup. So there's going to be some things that I'm interested to see in this season. And number one is if D'Angelo Russell can show up. If he scores 20 or more points a game, the Lakers are one of the best teams in the NBA and have a chance to make a title run. And that's how I feel about it. Not just as a fan, but that as an objective viewer of basketball, when he's on, the Lakers are a tough team to beat. That being said, he's inconsistent. And hopefully this playoff run, he is consistent D-Lo, because I'm excited to see this matchup in round one. I'm excited that because the Lakers have such a terrible regular season, we get an early playoff season that matters and that actually could be entertaining to watch with these two teams that are, I think the Lakers underperformed and the Nuggets are obviously one of the contenders. I think them matching up in the first round is going to be great first round basketball for the playoffs.
But shouldn't the Lakers have lost, then beat the Kings and taken their chances with the Thunder?
Coach Ham said it.
I heard.
We ain't running from nobody. We ain't dodging no hand. We're going at the top. Well, and the way I see it,
he can say that when he's in Cabo next week, too.
Gosh, why'd you have to say it like that, Adam? There's a chance they'll be in Cabo. But I mean, this is the way I look at it. Your goal is to win a championship, not to just make the playoffs. The Lakers as an organization, this is always the goal. It's a championship. Getting into the playoffs is not a victory. Lasting into the second round is not a win. Getting to the Western Conference Finals and losing is not like a great season. That's something to hang your hat on. The measuring stick for the Lakers and other franchises in sports is championship. And I think the Lakers are in that category where it's like, if we're not winning a championship, we fell short. And so at some point, you're going to have to run through the Nuggets. You're going to have to run through the best. And you got to beat them in order to call yourself champion. So I think the Lakers, whether it was the first series or in the Western Conference Finals again, they knew they were going to have to meet up against the best. And hopefully they're up to task this time.
Good luck.
That didn't sound convincing. Good luck to your Clippers against the Mavericks. How about that?
My Warriors are out. We're done.
Who's John's the Clipper fan? I'm sorry. I accuse you of a heinous crime, and you're not John Von Tobel. I'm sorry.
That's true.
In the future, if the Cabo is the final destination before our title for the Lakers, do you want Klay Thompson?
Yes. Klay Thompson should be on his way to L.A. If my crystal ball is clear right now, I think the Warriors are off of him. I think he might be off of the Warriors. I don't know. 0-for-10 in the last game, that was a bad way to go out. There's a lot of finger-pointing in Golden State right now of what the problem is. I can tell you one thing. They've demonstrated they're not getting off of Draymond Green, and they're not getting off of Steph Curry. So if you look at the top three earners on that team, Klay's the most logical one. He's the most replaceable for sure. So I think Klay might be on his way out. And if the Lakers have enough, why not come back to L.A. where your pops played? You love it down here. You work out here at the Lakers facility all the time. It just makes sense that this would be the place you retire, Klay. Come on down.
Last one, Caleb, and we got like 90 seconds left. Adam, you were saying Jason Kelce lost a Super Bowl ring in what, a tub?
Skyline Chili.
Okay. That's not good. Never got it back?
Nope, they couldn't find it, and everything's been disposed of, so he thinks it's gone.
Oh, my God. Caleb, what's the worst thing you've lost in your life in terms of an object?
In Chili.
Not in Chile.
I was going to say, in terms of an object, that's different. I thought you were going to say in life. I was going to say an ex-girlfriend, maybe. Yeah. But no, don't tell my wife I said that. I don't know. The worst thing I've lost in – I actually have lost a championship ring before to an ex-girlfriend, wouldn't you know it? Wow, that's crazy how that just popped up
in
my head.
Yeah.
That's insane. So I had a championship ring for winning the CIF when I was in high school, and I had two of them. So this one didn't hurt as much, but it was still a big loss. I let her wear it around her neck while I was in my next championship playoff run.
Nightmare.
So she would wear it to the games. And after the season, I just never got it back from her. We dated for a while after, but then when things broke off, I was already, you know, headed out to college, and I just never thought to get it back because I had another one. So that was a big loss, objectively speaking.
Pawn shop somewhere, probably very pricey.
Yeah, it's only worth something in California, but maybe I should hit her up and ask her, hey, you remember that ring from 15 years ago?
Got it.
You still got that?
Caleb,
got it framed somewhere, I'm sure.
You're the best. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, guys. Take care.
There he is, Caleb Herring. Today, in my uniquely oafish way, while welcoming Caitlin Clark to Indy, I formed my hands into her signature heart. My comment afterwards was clumsy and awkward. I sincerely apologize. Please know my heart, literally and figuratively, was well-intentioned. I will do better. There you go. There's the guy who had the interaction with
Greg Doyle.
Caitlin Clark, Greg Doyle. Maybe it was the male ego. And maybe he is just a creep. I don't think he is, but maybe he just is.
He's just super awkward.
Dusty's youngest son was just what he feared. He tried to raise him right, but he turned out too weird. That's when Dusty said with total frustration that drugs and cheap condoms was a bad combination. I know it keeps Cody awake to know he wasn't planned and he was a mistake.
Now back to Cofield and Company in the Findlay Toyota studio.
I mean, that song was so good. I don't think the Vast Sound Crew knew what to clip. That was brilliant. Was there someone next to The Rock? And that's a couple weeks old as they were setting up that whole thing at WrestleMania. Was there someone next to The Rock playing the harmonica?
I think that was just all him in the ring. He had the guitar. Then I think that was just accompanying music. God.
It was so good. Arash is with us, who's a big lover of wrestling. And Damon is here. He loves wrestling. I loved The Rock heel turn. Of course, the curmudgeon in the room did not. We'll get into that in a second. Arash, what did you think of that?
It was amazing. Listen, yep. I mean, obviously, you know, when Rock came back, he was going to come back as a face or a good guy, you know. And but when he made that heel turn, really coming to a head in Las Vegas during Super Bowl week during the press conference, I thought it was amazing. I thought that's perfect. And so hope it continues.
Yes. Adam, as most cases, nope.
Yeah, I actually tried to get back involved and invested in wrestling, and it was so bad.
Rock's turn was bad.
Yeah, and that was great. Yeah. But it wasn't enough of that. It was just very weird and awkward, and Cody Rhodes is a terrible actor. Like, when he was in here, we loved him. He was great, but not a good actor. Nothing intriguing about him. Then the most awkward, like, post-WrestleMania interaction that I've ever seen, where the whole crowd is like, this is awkward. Like, please stop.
I'll show you yours if you show me.
That was said.
I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
It was very weird. It was just a poorly done storyline that didn't really have the right payoff, and then it was just awkward. So I was like, all right, am I kind of out now? That was cool. That part was great.
Over analysis, Arash. What do you think?
No, listen. Everyone is entitled to their own opinion. It's the beauty of wrestling. You know, I do think generally the product has been much better during this TKO. Time period where Vince McMahon is no longer in charge of creative. It's Paul Levesque, Triple H. So, listen, it's not perfect. I know Adam goes way back with my guy Nick Khan, you know, Vegas guy himself, hoping to bring WrestleMania to Vegas. But, listen, I have loved the product. But, again, listen, there was a time period where DeMond could probably attest to this. Like, it was really bad. So my bar is a lot lower than probably some other people.
Yeah, there people were running around clips on Twitter yesterday where they were going back to the Muppet episode of Raw.
Here we go.
We don't want to go back to that. You weren't there in the trenches, Adam.
I feel like I'd rather go back to that than whatever Cody and Rock was.
Who do we trust on what's good business for the WWE? Adam Hill or Michael Rubin?
Probably Michael Rubin, although it is amazing, you know, just because, listen, I was familiar with the Major League Baseball uniform snafu, but I tweeted some of the comments that Michael Rubin made while he was in Los Angeles yesterday, and literally 99% of the comments are how bad Fanatics is. Like, oh, they're probably not going to get their jersey until Christmas, or like the jersey's name's going to be misspelled, or whatever. What I mean, like, there was, and again, I don't closely follow the day-to-day business of Fanatics and Michael Rubin, but in my mentions, Fanatics was just getting killed.
Well, but the point of the tweet was the WWE with Fanatics.
Yeah.
I mean, they are making boffo money, and I don't know what it speaks to. I don't know if the WrestleMania was awesome. Like you said, it's just fans were almost just waiting, holding back on buying stuff, and now this new era has them all fired up.
Well, you know, what it is when Nick Khan became president, you know, he really brought them into the forefront or really doing what other professional leagues were doing. So in terms of sales, like now they're, you know, selling championship belts with your favorite team's logo on them.
They're doing other, jerseys. And, again, things that professional leagues have been doing for a while, they're now being involved in that. And so, you know, when you look at where a lot of their signature pay-per-views or premium live events are, like, they're now in stadiums. You know, like, they're not looking at just T-Mobile Arena, right? They're looking at, like, Collegiate Stadium and SoFi Stadium and places where they will hold the Super Bowl. So when I was talking to Nick, he's like, listen, the last WrestleMania, this one that just took place a week or so ago, was the last one that he took over, that plan was made prior to him being there. I would fully expect all the WrestleManias moving forward to be held in Super Bowl-type venues. So, again, you're talking Legion, SoFi, places like that.
So how soon before WrestleMania comes to Las Vegas?
Listen, they're in talks right now. So it could be as soon as next year. I do know that they like to kind of spread it out a little bit. So whether it's in Minneapolis next year and Vegas the year before, Nick is from Vegas, and he worked the last WrestleMania in Vegas at the Caesars Palace, WrestleMania 9. So whether it's 2025 or 2026, I do think it will be in Las Vegas soon.
I feel like this could be Arash being our WWE insider could be a budding rivalry. Kind of going back to the sandwiches. Adam, why are you so quiet when you're a Nick Khan guy as well? Why are you not breaking news like this?
I chuckled when he said, my guy Nick Khan.
Oh, was that a sneaky shot at you?
I thought.
All right. Yeah. I like this. Good job, Arash.
Listen, no. Like, Adam did a very nice feature story on the local kid who did well. Listen, he grew up in Vegas, went to UNLV, and look where he is now, president of the WWE.
Excellent. By the way, was Philly a disaster in terms of the outdoor venue?
Well, what? I'm sorry.
Was Philly a mess because of the outdoor venue?
Well, it was the problem was, you can't have it in a outdoor venue like Philadelphia or New York when it's cold outside. So again, I would fully expect it to be like if it's going to be outdoors, maybe Miami, maybe Florida, maybe California, something like that. So if Philadelphia was, according to people who were there and I wasn't there, the coldest WrestleMania. Again, normally it's held indoors, but. According to Nick. Oh, so by the way, so two big things from Nick today.
Yeah.
It will not be held in an East Coast venue outdoors, and it will not go head to head with the Final Four. So look for the event to be held 1 week or sometime this month, sometime in April, but not head to head with the Final Four.
Arash, I wanted to ask you something because you talked about you tweeted about Utah Jazz owner Ryan Smith. The new Salt Lake team in Utah, what should the name be?
Well, I have not even given that much thought, but then people tweeted out me whether it's the Blizzard or the something there was a bunch of names.
Utah Yeti. Arash, UtahYeti.com got registered over the weekend.
Okay, so that's why. So there was a bunch of people who tweeted that at me. This is going to happen. So. The reason that they're holding off on it is that the Coyotes will play their last game there. And by the way, calling out Adam Hill right now because he had the opportunity to come with me to see one game, and I said this might be the last season that they play at this 4,600-seat venue. So the Vegas Golden Knights played there, he would have rather, and he did this, he rather stayed at a hotel lobby bar then come with me to one of the last games in a 4,600-seat arena. So, Adam, you dropped the ball there, my friend.
Yeah, I watched. I'm a somebody who's passionate and cares about women's sports, and I felt I felt watching the UConn-Iowa game was important.
I was watching that game too on my computer, but I was there.
I was watching with a lot of college coaches and getting their takes.
I will go behind the scenes and bring it on the air. What Adam did get was a great scoop, but we never mentioned it on the air, and gave us nothing.
So true.
On Dan Munson, the outgoing Long Beach State coach, basically said in conversation when Adam was kind of listening that he was What, that he was getting the Eastern Washington job?
Yeah, that he was going to take the Eastern Washington job, and then we never said anything, and then...
Well, we couldn't, the way you got it!
A week and a half later, he's announced as the new coach of Eastern Washington.
Wow. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, we did, because we did talk about the Marriott points and getting finally granted access to that room, which it's just, it's another world.
Yes.
You guys have access. I've always lamented that.
I don't even think you're allowed to talk about it.
You're right. I could be banned for life. But we were able to tell the Jim Boeheim story, which I'm not even sure we're supposed to tell. That's like a sacred area.
Well, also Arash was part of the ridiculous dinner that we talked about.
That
was amazing.
I don't know that we wrapped that up. Are you going to send Adam's friend some money? Do you feel obligated? Because his friend went crazy. When you guys all went with depressed price entrees, he went crazy on the appetizers. We both felt bad. Did you feel bad, or is this kind of... DeMond feels bad about nothing. Listen, I get a feeling Arash is like DeMond.
No, so I was sharing, you know, I was very thankful, obviously, that we got invited and we got to be a part of that. But me and my fiance shared a hamburger, and we shared some fries, I think. Like, wow. I really didn't want it, but then he was ordering for everyone, and what I still can't figure out, I'm sure you guys touched on the air, I had never seen this happen before. Well, whatever tip he left, the waitress came back and gave him a hug, like the hug you would give a long lost friend
that
you hadn't seen in years.
Yeah, we did mention.
So trying to figure out what that tip was.
I was trying to get a look.
Well, then meanwhile, Adam was irate. I've never seen Adam get this mad at a meal over the short rib that he didn't get to have. He tried to.
I was so excited for it. It was terrible.
And he was like, "Where's the manager? Get that taken off." Which, by the way, Arash.
First of all, I was not irate.
Did you get any guff? I actually think if your fiance was a certain type of person, she might have gotten on you because her food came out late. It still wasn't correct, and she never really ate.
I know. She told me that she wasn't that hungry, so we split the hamburger, and then the chicken came out like after we were done. So she packed that up, and I think she had that for lunch the next day. But it was okay.
It was a weird dinner.
It was fun. I enjoyed it.
For real.
I like watching you guys. You're quite the hoot. At meals. I'm going to go way back real quick here in the last couple of minutes. I saw you mention a Clippers reunion. Was that the 99 team? 25 years?
No, so it was basically, it was just a hodgepodge of Clippers players who had played at Staples Center, now Crypto.com Arena. Again, these are their last games there. Their new arena will be open this summer. So, they kind of like gave a tip of the hat to 25 years there.
Okay.
Blake Griffin, a Hall of Famer?
He is not. But you know what? The Hall of Fame is very interesting to me, as you know, because it's not just pro basketball, right? It's like, is his combination of high school, college, pro enough to get him into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame? I still think not. But, I mean, I've seen guys get into the Hall of Fame that just have a great, you know, college career. So I would say no, though.
WNBA draft. Which player drafted in that first round will make the most local money in endorsements? I say it's Cameron Brink. I think she's going to be a massive hit in L.A.
I agree with that, but Caitlin Clark is in a different stratosphere, so we really do have to take her out of the equation, because what she's doing, and the reason that I say that is no one's been able to move the needle like her TV-wise. I mean, as amazing as Cameron Brink is, the draft is not doing $2.5 million if it's just her as the top pick. But again, I agree with you. Her look is incredible, but if she's as good as she was in Stanford, so if that transfers over, and they have to be competitive. They're not expected to be a very good team here. It's a rebuild. But listen, she's got the look. She's in Los Angeles. She's going to be on runway. The Steph Curry connection is obviously great. So you're not wrong, but Caitlin Clark is in a different stratosphere.
Arash, your look is incredible. I was sneaking around your Instagram page today looking for story ideas, and I was like, oh, there's photos of the popping the question. Very nice. Very nice. I know it's way back now, but it was nice.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But listen, by the way, excited to come back in Vegas for Canelo and the Kentucky Derby, one of my favorite weekends. Big fight, big race. Love that weekend in Vegas.
Never ends, baby, in Vegas. Thanks, Arash.
All right, see you guys. Bye.
I was like DeMond being out. Like, he's always flabbergasted when we mention tips and meals and decorum. I just feel like you just fly underneath the radar and just whatever happens, happens, man.
Oh, man. Monday, I had a great night of just going out with a friend and the friend's significant other.
Treated a lot, or did you have to spend money?
Didn't spend a dime.
God, he's so bad. Good at this.
Felt bad?
Not at all.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Grab Bag time to close out the show. Let's do a giveaway. 4-pack of tickets to the final game of the season, Las Vegas Desert Dogs, high-level professional lacrosse, Saturday, Mick Ultra Arena. It's also Pediatric Cancer Night, where the proceeds are going to go to help fight childhood cancer. You can grab your own tickets at LasVegasDesertDogs.com. It's a 4-pack. Caller 7-364-1100. Desert Dogs closing out the regular season. 364-1100. In the back?
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
We all did not answer what is something that you have lost, like Jason Kelce did with a Super Bowl ring and a tub of Skyline Chili, which I don't even know what a tub of Skyline Chili is.
I think they're doing like chili wrestling at the live event.
Oh, okay. So this wasn't a meal.
No, it was at the New Heights live show in Cincinnati.
And they wrestled in chili.
I think so.
Wow. I like Jell-O. I watched a good Jell-O wrestling event about 10 years ago in town.
Okay.
At the old Moose McGillicuddy's. Remember our friend Adam?
Then it was more than Farmer? 10. It was more than 10 years ago.
It wasn't Moose McGillicuddy's. He had taken over.
Right. Still, I think that was.
Really?
I think that's
God,
been gone.
Time is. I know. It's flying. So what's the most significant thing you lost or something you were annoyed about that you couldn't find?
I mean, I think I've lost pretty much everything I've ever had.
I went to cover the Atlantic 10 baseball tournament in Williamsport, PA. We pulled over to a Little League field, not that one, but like a school. And we're like, oh, let's play some home run derby with softballs. And we get done playing home run derby at this rando field. And I'm like, I have no idea where the car keys are. I lost the car keys in the middle of Pennsylvania and looked. And eventually I had to call a locksmith.
How many people were with you?
Just ridiculous. Probably six.
How furious were they?
Pretty mad.
Should be.
I've got my answer.
Yeah, what is it?
10th grade.
You lost 10th grade?
A game at Bishop Gorman. I had my shell toe Adidas, and I left them at Gorman. And they were new. Probably only had these shoes for about 2 weeks.
What does that mean?
I just lost a pair of shoes.
No, what are those shoes, though?
Oh.
Just a lot of money at the time?
Not a lot of money, but just think about Run DMC, just those classic, you know, black and white shell toe
Adidas. I lose hoodies all the time because I just take them off and then I just leave them places.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, shoes. Also, lift a pair of cleats at a football game as well. But I didn't really care about those too much.
Back in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
We talked a lot of Caitlin Clark today. I actually had more stuff I wanted to hit with Damon. Check that with Arash, and then I just told Damon during a break. I'm like, I, are we doing too much? I love this story. I don't know what's happened to me. I'm like a crazed WNBA fan now.
For how long?
Oh, I think it's going to be a while. I think the heat is going to continue for a couple of years. Didn't you like my idea of being like the freaking bad girl Sky? Like
I literally can't wait.
Just rampaging around the league. What'd you say about young players?
I can't wait till like a random Wednesday, and I'll be like, man, that finish last night was wild. Like, what game?
Yeah, what game?
What are you talking about? You're not going to be watching games. There's literally no chance.
If there are stories around the games, I will be watching.
You're not watching. There's no way.
There's going to be heat all year.
Okay.
I hate this so much about the NFL draft. I'm not rooting against the guy. Schefter earlier today, Georgia tight end, Brock Bowers visiting the Chargers, also visited the Bears and the Jets. I cannot get past, especially the Jets. I can't do this. I can never get over the battle scars with the Jets of taking tight ends in the first round. It was Kyle Brady instead of Warren Sapp!
Well, I think
Johnny Mitchell, stop!
I feel like Aaron Rodgers will be able to get Brock Bowers the ball if that's who they take.
It's fine, but it's a one-year thing.
Probably they got Tyrod.
Not with that. Not you're the one who doesn't like it at that slot.
I hate it.
Trade back.
They should.
But I do think Bowers is going to be awesome.
We mentioned the Chargers also should mention they signed J.K. Dobbins today, so we'll see.